You are now listening to
Chakras and Shotguns. Welcome to Chakras and Shotguns, the podcast that guides you on your journey of spiritual development and personal preparedness. I'm Jen, a former lawyer, now wellness entrepreneur and tarot card reader.
And I'm Mick, a marketer, energy healer, and prepper.
Have you ever wanted to control your dreams, maybe get out of a nightmare, or even just better remember your dreams? Today, we're getting into lucid dreaming. We're talking about how you can be more aware even when you're asleep.
But before we get into that, we do want to remind you guys that my lovely wife over here, Jen, is doing special love tarot card readings for February. You can use code VDAY25 to get 25% off at chakrasandshotguns.com/readings.
Very exciting. Let's start off with breath work, meditation to get us into a mindful place before we get into our main topic. Go ahead and find a comfortable seat. You could always lie down. You guys know the deal. And let's begin. Place your hand somewhere on your body, face up. This is a more receptive motion for our hands versus when we put them face down to ground. And let's start to connect with our breath. Take a deep inhale in through your nose. Hold at the top. And exhale that breath back out through your mouth. Let's do that again. Inhale through your nose. And exhale your breath back out through your nose. One more together. Inhale through your nose. And this time, seal your lips closed, and then exhale your breath back out through your nose. Start to allow yourself to breathe normally. And try to match the length of your inhales to the length of your exhales. So a much slower pace than normal. As you focus on your breath, start to feel that familiar sensation of dropping in. Where you're only focused on my voice. Maybe you start to feel bodily sensations. Like you're tuning out the things that are around you, the constant sound inputs. Today's meditation is a very simple one. I really just want you to get familiar with the feeling of dropping in. We're going to finish this time together with a mantra, an affirmation. I want you to repeat it 3 times, either to yourself, in your head, or even out loud. I will remember my dreams tonight. I will remember my dreams tonight. I will remember my dreams tonight. Allow yourself to feel the feeling of gratitude. Take a deep breath in through your nose. And let it all go. Exhale out through your mouth. Start to wiggle your fingers, wiggle your toes. Flicker your eyes open. Welcome back.
All right. Thanks, Jen, for another dope breath work. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about it, but that was a great reminder for me. Something I used to say all the time before I went to sleep is I want to remember my dreams, and I just haven't really done it in a while. So it's a good reminder. I'm going to incorporate that back into my practices going forward. Yeah. All right, so let's get into the main topic. Like we always do with our episodes, we try to give some grounding in a definition. So what is the definition of lucid dreaming? Well, lucid dreaming is simply when you're in a dream, but your consciousness is almost as if you're awake, right? You're dreaming and you're physically asleep, but you can actually control what's happening in your dream.
Mm-hmm. This is not to be confused with sleep paralysis, but they might be related. We did a little bit of research into this. The difference is sleep paralysis is when your mind is awake, but your body is not. This has actually happened to me. Have you been ever? Oh, yeah. That was okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So your body can't move and it's paralyzed, but your brain is awake and it can be very scary and you may see things, but you feel stuck. Yeah. This happened to me. It's happened to me once, like a very strong instance of sleep paralysis. I was single or we were dating, but I was living alone.
Yeah.
And it was shortly before I needed to get up to go to work and I felt a man standing over my bed. I know what he looks like. And I felt like he wanted to do me harm and I could not move. And that shit was terrifying. And I just felt like I was screaming. And then when I got out of it, I like couldn't shake it for like a few days. It was very, very scary.
That's really interesting. And I think it just kind of hit me because I know how you experience spirits, right? Like you can see them. And mine is more, I like feel spirits. And so in my sleep paralysis, I didn't see anything physically. I actually felt the presence of something and I started hitting the, like, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You know, I was hitting some of those prayers and whatnot. But I knew something was in the space. And so I was like, what does that really mean about sleep paralysis then? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Did you feel like malintent? Like they felt?
Oh, yeah. I was rebuking them. Like I was, you need to
he
leave.
Said, I said.
It's like, you need to leave, sir or ma'am, whatever. All right. Well, that's a little bit of an aside. But let's get into more of dreaming in general, like the power of dreaming and how dreaming works.
And we're talking about fun things. We're keeping it light. Yeah, like sleep, though, you know.
That was a little dark aside. We're going to come back to the light over here.
Okay.
Yeah. So we want to talk a little bit more about dreams and how dreaming works.
Mm-hmm.
Researchers say on average that we dream about 2 hours per night.
Okay. Like but, a movie.
A little bit like a movie. I feel like I'd be dreaming a little bit longer than that, though. Like I'm giving y'all
How would you know?
I don't know. I just feel it. You know,
mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm giving y'all a 3 hour epic, you know?
Okay. Just like you felt like you knew when our first child was going to be born.
I got the month right.
Well, you were 2 weeks off.
It was the last day of the month, though. I knew.
Okay.
I knew what time it was going to be. So anyway, you have two different sleep stages. You have the REM or rapid eye movement. So, you know, you sleep and your eyes moving all over the place, you know, like you're getting a download in the matrix when they put the thing in you and you're back in your head, you know, boom. And then you also have the non-REM or the non-rapid eye movement. And we actually get our deepest sleep during that non-REM when our eyes aren't moving all over the place.
Yeah. So that's when you're not disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
But you have your most vivid dreams when your eyes are moving. They seeing something. So you go through each of these stages of REM, non-REM sleep. You do that about 4 to 6 times each night. And the full cycle is about 90 minutes long, which I think that's why people were like, oh, you should aim for like a 90-minute nap so you can get through a full cycle.
Yeah.
And as an avid napper,
Nap queen.
I am. I'm a manifestor in human design. This is what we do.
Okay. I just was remarking on your napping ability.
People will be like, oh, take a 20-minute power nap. And that's actually really not good for my nervous system.
Yeah.
I will wake up jittery as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll just be like... Like, yeah. It's almost like I'm having a panic attack. Like, yeah. I have to go get the kids or whatever. So,
yeah.
90 minutes is a good, that's a good space to be in, you know? I can do a 45 sometimes, but whatever. Anyways, you get this cycle, this REM, non-REM cycle that's about 90 minutes, but they're not evenly distributed throughout the night. So, like, you don't you can't say like, I'm going to bed at 10 and then 11:30, I'm gonna be done with this cycle.
Yeah.
Which also kind of like debunks my whole theory about naps. But you know what? Do what works for you. But you're more likely to have more REM sleep in the second half of the night, which is why you may have really vivid dreams right before you wake up in the morning.
All right. Yes. So if you're not remembering your dreams, though, it's probably that you're like sleeping through like that cycle, right? You're sleeping through and like you're not having it right before you wake up and like thus not remembering them. So we'll get into, as I said earlier, we'll get into some things about how you can have better dream recall. Yeah. And part of it might be your sleep hygiene, right? Yeah. So sleep deprivation, poor sleep quality can lead to all kinds of disorders, including things like heart disease, Alzheimer's, and dementia.
Yeah. So if you're feeling like you don't dream or you don't feel like you have restful sleep, yeah, I think it's like really important to really look at your sleep hygiene, mm-hmm, and what, you know, what you have going on around that. So you might need to do a sleep study. You might have sleep apnea.
Yeah.
You might need that mask. You know, you. Ooh. I feel like some people are like, oh, I'm just not a good sleeper. Yeah. Or I'm a very light sleeper. Or I don't need that many hours. Mm-hmm. And like, sleep is so crucial to wellness that, yes, I think it's like really overlooked.
So what are some things that can potentially impact like your quality of sleep and specifically like your REM when you're trying to get those dreams off?
Okay. So we have alcohol and caffeine intake, particularly before bed. So I notice, you know, if I'm getting loose in a goose, don't get me started, that I sleep terribly if I overdrink.
Yeah.
Like I can have, you know, maybe a couple glasses of wine, yeah, spread it out. But like I get really hot. Mm-hmm. I don't feel well rested at all. Yeah. I don't feel like I slept at all. Even if, you know, I day drink.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not even about the hour that, mm-hmm, I went to bed.
Yeah.
So being very, very mindful of that. How you wind down before bed. So lots of scrolling social media, watching TV. There's all these, I feel like there's a bunch of videos and TikToks or whatever about the blue light. And taking that in. Some people say like, don't watch anything on a screen for like an hour before you go to sleep.
Yeah.
I read a lot on my phone. So that's difficult.
I'm laughing because when Jen and I first got married, I was very much a sleep timer guy.
Oh.
So I would have the TV going and it was like I had to put it on something that I wasn't too interested in because I didn't want to watch the TV. I just needed it on in the background to have it. And I'll set the sleep timer for like, you know, 30 minutes or whatever. And it would lull me to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to hate this. We don't have a TV in our bedroom anymore now. So, you know, we got over that. But
I would just like to point out, okay, so it needs to be pitch black, dark, no sounds, eye mask preferred for me to go to sleep. That's how I've always, mm-hmm, gone to sleep. Mm-hmm. And then him integrating this sleep timer nonsense. And I have to go to sleep listening to some jibber jabber in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And now I recently read a Japanese study. I'm going to try and find it and put it in the show notes. I didn't read the whole study, but I read an article about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they were saying that even the smallest amount of light and sound can disrupt your sleep.
Mm.
And we know that sleep hygiene is important. And we know that it can have negative effects. And I just want to know, for those, what, 6 years? 5, 6 years of our marriage? 7 years?
Yeah.
What will you say at my funeral now that you've killed me?
All right, B. It's only for 30 minutes. As we were falling asleep.
Those 30 minutes every day. They add up.
Anyway, how about we keep moving along and talk about some other things that could impact sleep hygiene.
Okay.
Ma'am.
So I turn off Bluetooth on my phone before bed. I had a reading with a woman who was talking about like electromagnetic fields. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really research this at all. But her theory was that Bluetooth signals are always out there because they're always looking to be picked up,
mm-hmm,
to be received somewhere. So when the Bluetooth is on your phone, when you get in your car is like, oh, bim, bam, boom, there's a signal. Yeah. I got you.
Yeah.
Let's listen to Megan Thee Stallion.
Yeah.
And if my phone is constantly doing that, it's constantly sending out a signal or waiting to be picked up by something else or listening for something else.
Yeah.
What could that be doing for sleep? So I created the shortcut on my phone that it on an iPhone that it automatically disables my Bluetooth at a certain time, which when I'm running in the streets, I have to remember that if it's after 10, I got to turn my Bluetooth back on. But that's not often. So I turn that off and I notice a difference in my sleep. So I need to make a video on how to do that.
Now you did the same on my phone. And I mean, I think I noticed a difference. It could be totally placebo effect, but I'm not going to stop doing it. So like, what's the worst that could happen? Like, I got to turn it back on if I need to connect and it's after 10 p.m. Like,
yeah,
whatever. So yeah, I think it's a good idea.
And then the final tip is to create a relaxing sleep environment. We already talked about eye mask. I like earplugs, but you have to be careful with that because you don't want to do too much in your ears. But it's really because I have a personal phobia of a spider crawling in my ear. And that has happened to people. And so there's that. A new thing that I'm doing is taping my mouth closed.
She'd be looking crazy.
I need to do a video on that as well. I do look insane. I am a mouth breather when I sleep. You know, the lips is juicy. Baby, you know, sometimes they just hang. And the theory is that when you close your, when you tape your mouth closed, you're getting more oxygen to your brain. So like your brain is better oxygenated. When you wake up, you have more energy. And since I have done it, I have pretty much knocked out my need for a daily nap because, like I said, I'm a nap queen. But I feel an increase in my energy.
I'm gonna keep it real. Look, I thought it was ridiculous at first, but she was having way more energy. She was getting more stuff done. It's been a couple of nights where she was about to fall asleep, and I was like, "Baby,
take that mouth,
get that blue tape, get it out, put it on there. I don't want to have, I don't want no problems tomorrow." So it's been a good look for you, I'd say.
Thank you. All that being said, if you are doing things like this, you know, making your bedroom a place, like some people say, it's really just for intimacy and rest. If you're doing all these things, you have an eye mask, you have all the things, all the tools, all the gadgets, and you still don't feel like you're getting good rest, definitely see a doctor and maybe do a sleep study and like figure out what's going on. Because I read an article one time about how we can't recoup sleep. You can't catch up on missed sleep. And it's so important to rest and recharge. And so I really think that's like an area of wellness that we don't really take as serious.
I will do a quick little plug. It's not a commercial per se, but we do have a relationship with the company that we wanted to highlight real quick. So if you really want to kind of step up your sleep hygiene game, there's a company out there called Hatch. And what they do is they make different devices that help people with sleep. And so there's a device called the Restore. The Restore 2 is actually the newest model. And what you can do with that device is basically like, almost looks like an alarm clock kind of situation that sits on your nightstand. And it has a variety of different sounds that you can play to help you to go to sleep. And so you can kind of set like, oh, I want a sound to play for 30 minutes before I go to bed, or an hour, or the full night. Some people actually listen to the sound the whole night. And so they have sounds like solfeggio frequencies, and they have the ocean. They have like a fire, at like a campfire crackling, you know, that you can listen to kind of soothe you to sleep. And then when you're waking up, the display will kind of grow in brightness. So you tell like, I want to wake up at 7 a.m. and you want like the sunrise to kind of slowly illuminate on the display. So you can kind of set that. And instead of waking up to like the blaring of your phone alarm, it has very soothing sounds. We have like singing bowls that come on for us when we wake up now. So we love it. We've been using it for a few nights. And if you would like to look into that, we have a link in our show notes that you can purchase. And we are an affiliate, so we would get some of that sale. So check it out. All right. So let's say you got your sleep hygiene together, right? Why would you even want a lucid dream? You know, what's so great about that? Well, there are three main buckets that people will kind of say they reasons why they would want to lucid dreams. So you have therapeutic reasons, personal development reasons, and pure entertainment. So we'll kind of walk through those, starting first with therapeutic benefits. So phobias tend to be one that people point to when it comes to therapeutic benefits. Maybe you are scared of heights or spiders, maybe.
Why are you bringing up spiders?
I mean, I'm just saying it's prescient.
Why are you bringing that back up?
Just saying.
Okay.
Maybe you need to work through that in a lucid dream.
Or I can get some earplugs. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. So, yes. So some people, you know, have reported that they can face their fears in their lucid dreams mm-hmm. and be able to overcome them and feel a lot less scared of those things, you know? Next, fewer nightmares. So if you have a lot of nightmares and you want to like go into them and kind of like reverse it, flip it and reverse it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, Missy.
You can control how the nightmare unfolds essentially and overcome it, mm. right? If you're like recognizing that you're asleep and then you have control of the dream, you can kind of flip things on what's happening in the nightmare. So that's been reported to happen. It can also help with depression, anxiety, and even PTSD. Definitely would, you know, work with the licensed therapist if you're trying to like solve your PTSD in a dream, but like that's something that you could do. And then I've heard this before. Some people go get free therapy in their lucid dream. So they'll like create a character that's a therapist and they will sit on the couch and like in the dream, talk out their problems and get free therapy. So that sounds wild to me, but some people do it.
Now that sounds amazing. That does sound amazing. I kind of feel sad about the state of the world, that it's like, I have to learn how to lucid dream to get mental health care.
Yeah.
But, you know, if it works, it works, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But yes. I also was trying to think through, like, if I was to set up a dream where this spider crawled in my ear while I was asleep, like, I'm waking up. How do I control that? Am I like, hey, get out of there?
Like, you can take it out. You control the dream. That's the point of it.
So I feel the sensation and be like, okay, reverse that. And then now what?
Or you stop it. Like you like, boom, I got him out. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but
you,
how does that solve my problem?
You're empowered.
But when I go to sleep the real world.
We can take this offline. You know what I'm saying? You're trying to solve your trauma right now on the show. I'm trying to, you know, educate people on lucid dreaming. So can we get back to today?
Okay, I'm fine. Whatever. All right, moving on to personal development. So you can practice a new skill. I'm interested in this one because I've talked about it before, but we are in the process of learning French.
Mm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Je parle français.
Oui.
Je parle très bien français. Oui. Mm-hmm. And so some people will practice new languages. Some people will work on a new instrument, like learning piano. Some people will work out, which I have heard about that in the biology of belief, not with lucid dreaming, but just like visualizations of like doing like, what are these? Bicep curls.
Yes.
And then actually when they measured it, they were doing them in their mind and they ended up being stronger or like practicing piano in their mind. And then they ended up being more skilled at the piano.
Yeah.
And so like doing lucid dreaming, like how does time unfold in that way?
Yeah.
And you're practicing these things. That's really cool.
Man. So my mind just went on a little bit of a tangent.
Okay.
So I wonder, RIP, but Kobe Bryant, if he knew about this, because everyone talks about how Kobe Bryant was always outworking everybody. Like he would get two workouts in before like the rest of the Redeem team had even like woken up, right? Mm-hmm. Like he's like always working. He was like, if I can outwork you, if I can do more workouts than you, like you'll never be able to catch up to me.
Okay.
So I'm like, man, what if he knew about lucid dreaming was like shooting free throws, like getting in more work? Like, I feel like that's very Mamba, but that's a total aside. It's just something that came to my mind as you were talking about that.
Maybe. Is that the joke? They're like, everybody, like all of these masterminds, they're like
sleeping and working at the same time.
And then when they say that, like, they were like, I eat, sleep, and breathe. They sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Message is right in front of you.
Right there.
Da Vinci Code.
Went over your head.
Whose head?
Everybody.
Oh. I was like, what? I got it. Yeah, so there's also hypotheses that sleep and dreaming, it's a way for us to cement memory from like everything we took in that day. So it's like you practice something or you learn some new vocabulary in French, and then you go into a dream state and you're practicing that new language, right? Mm-hmm. Then there's creativity. So in your lucid dreaming, you know, you have access to your subconscious. Like, is there something creatively?
Yeah.
Lord, sound it out. Creatively that you're trying to master or work on, or if you're an artist or a writer or an aspiring rapper, I don't know, you want to work on your mixtape, do it in your dream.
Save on the studio time.
You need some ideas.
Mm-hmm.
for a project that you're working on.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like that came up. We talked about that episode before mm-hmm. on Dave, where he was in like this immersion tank.
Yeah.
And it kind of felt like he was maybe dreaming, yeah. meditating.
Or just high. We don't know.
Right. The lines can get blurry, but that he ended up meeting with his higher self, who yeah. like gave him all these bars. And
yeah.
he was like, I have bars for you.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to like open yourself to them.
Yeah. All right. So if you don't want to work, you know, want to take some time off.
Okay.
You can just literally go lucid dream for pure entertainment. And so the first thing that comes to mind, this is something I do all the time when I'm lucid dreaming. Whenever I realize I'm lucid dreaming, I start flying. I'm like, I get my, you know, Soulja Boy Superman. Like I'm out here in the air, in the okay. clouds, loving it. Right. That's like my personal favorite thing to do. So, you know, you just do stuff like that. You run around real fast. You can go see stuff, go into space, look around. In addition to flying, you know, maybe you want to go on a date with like Halle Berry or like an Ananda Lewis. I'm just saying maybe those could be some
Ananda
of your,
Lewis.
You
Ooh,
know,
okay.
Maybe that could be one of your secret crushes that you always wanted to go on a date with. Maybe, I'm just saying. And so, you know, you can ask them out in the dream world. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. You know, you do realize this is our podcast and not your personal diary.
I thought it was a safe space.
Ananda Lewis was very specific. A baddie. But okay. Fine. That's fine. No judgment.
I'm just speaking from... They say teach from experience. The last thing I'll say is some people like to like build cities. Like you can get your little Sim City on. Did you ever play Sim City?
I did play Sim City.
I played Sim City too. So you know, you just like mess around and build worlds and like... even like Inception, right? He was like building worlds and stuff and puzzles and stuff. So yeah.
Okay.
Enjoy that.
Okay.
Have fun cool. with it.
Now we did watch a Korean Netflix movie. Let's just talk about how the Koreans be doing the damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because the
mm-hmm.
movies, the dramas, the comedies, they give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
The action, the plot. The movie's called Lucid Dream. That's the English name.
It's the English name, yeah.
It's a little on the nose. If you ask me. It's on Netflix. It's really, really good. It's about a man, a journalist, whose son was abducted. He thinks his enemies abducted his son because he was like kind of a journalist that was yeah. like exposing people.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses lucid dreaming to find his son. Very good. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I thought the ending was going to be different.
Yeah. Yeah. You thought it was going to be like a little like Inception type ending.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
It was very, very good. Very good.
All right. So we talked a lot about the benefits, fun things you can do, dates you can go on, all that. How do you actually do lucid dreaming? So there are multiple methods, including one where you wake yourself up every 2 to 3 hours. Y'all know how we get down. That's not really what we about. So, yeah.
And we have these kids. And if you're waking yourself up, you can accidentally wake them up, too.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they hear that alarm and it's like The Walking Dead. It's
oh,
like,
yeah. They're like, oh, somebody's up. I need to be up, too.
So I need all of my sleep. So that's not really what I want to do. There's like a method where you're constantly checking, even in your waking hours, if you're awake and that you're aware. And that one felt very Inception-y to me. That also, like, I don't really play around with like consciousness and awareness like that, because I feel like you might send yourself into like a land of Delulu. And the last thing we need is anybody going on a psychotic break. Okay.
Exactly,
so
don't do that.
Do that.
All right. So yeah, there's two methods that we're going to talk about today. First one we'll do is actually called the MILD method. It stands for the mnemonic induction of lucid dreams. So for this one, you're setting an intention before you go to bed, similar to what Jen did in the breathwork section. Okay. And here's how you use it. So as you fall asleep, think of a recent dream, and you're going to identify what's called a dream sign. And that's something that's irregular or strange in the dream. So like the ability to fly, like I talked about how I love to fly. That's how I know when I'm in my lucid dreams.
Okay.
Think about returning to the dream. Acknowledge that the dream sign only happens when you dream, and tell yourself, the next time I dream, I want to remember that I'm dreaming. And then you recite that phrase over and over in your head. Then you go to sleep. If you wake up after a dream, follow the same steps since you had a dream.
The other tool for lucid dreaming, and this is one we try to do, is dream journaling.
Mm-hmm.
So we've said before a long time ago that a dream is not just a dream. There may be messages, lessons that you need to learn, people who might be trying to speak to you. And so maybe your subconscious, your higher self, your spirit team, your angels, your ancestors, all of them trying to tell you something. So When you wake up, write it down. It's the most vivid right when you wake up, right? Mm. So when it comes to lucid dreaming, you're forcing yourself to remember your dream because you want to force that awareness of being in the dream. Mm. And so you might start to notice a pattern of dream signs, and then you can kind of incorporate them if you want to do the mild method. And so then you're increasing your awareness of your dreams. And then the last tip is that you should also revisit and reread your dream journal often. This is something that I don't really do. I kind of set it and forget it. And there may be stuff in there that I'm like, oh my gosh, I completely forgot that I had a dream about this.
What's really cool though about what you do when you journal in general, including dream journaling, is like you'll go back and open your journal and like your intuition almost like puts you on a page. It's like you need to read in that moment.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. So,
and then I'll be like, I do not remember writing this at all.
So some people have reported feeling like better and like more energized when they wake up after lucid dreaming. But there are others who get a little bit more tired. So like pay attention to how you're feeling when you're lucid dreaming. Like if you're starting to wake up a lot more tired, then like kind of chill out on a little bit. Don't do your little recitation of I want to remember my dream. Just kind of let yourself chill and relax.
I think I also like there have been times where, especially when we were really experimenting with like lucid dreaming and astral projection and all that kind of stuff, and we were like real tired. And I think it was Melanie. It was either Melanie or Akira.
I think it was Melanie.
Our faves told us like, you're doing too much. Like your spirit and your brain in some ways is like still awake. Yeah. You need to give yourself that time to rest.
Yeah.
And so the times that I was like really tired, either I would be like, hey, y'all, it's night-night time. Everybody need to be quiet. Everybody need to go to sleep. Or I would be like, I want this sleep to be restful. I want to have deep, restful sleep. I don't necessarily need to get any messages for dreams. So almost kind of like setting the intention for your sleep before you go to bed.
Yeah. So I'd also add to that, like definitely stop experimenting with lucid dreaming if you experience any of these symptoms. So sleep problems, like we said before, difficulty falling or staying asleep. If you start to disassociate or you're not like aware that you're actually in reality, like chill out on that, set your intention to go to sleep. And then if you're starting to feel any type of like depression or anxiety, definitely let the lucid dreaming chill.
Yeah. It's like, remember, this is for fun or deeper exploration of self. Yeah. It really should not disrupt your whole life in a bad way. Now, what if you get stuck in a lucid dream? Are you ready to get up out of there?
Mm.
Which I don't feel like we really asked. Like it didn't really even occur to us. But I think like some people need that fail safe or exit strategy, which is smart.
Yeah.
So some tips and tricks that you can use is you can yell in your dream. You can go to sleep in your dream. Mm,
a dream within a dream.
Which is a little meta for me. But they say that it makes you wake up in real life. And I've heard this one before. Try to read a book or a sign in your dream. Like apparently it's impossible to read in your dream. Like it just looks like gobbledygook.
Okay.
And so this can make different parts of your brain light up, getting you out of the REM cycle.
That makes sense. Because I feel like I was flying and I tried to read something and I woke up and I was mad.
So I reading is not fundamental in a dream.
Not read. All right. No. All right, guys. So now that you guys have all the tools that you know, can play with when you're about to go to bed, have some fun with it. Try it out. Not those kind of tools.
We do not have a sponsorship with them.
We want to know how your experience is with the lucid dreaming, not with the anything else. So shoot us a DM and tell us how your experience goes. And I want to remind you guys, definitely book a love tarot card reading with Jen. She's so great at tarot. She can help you find a new boo, see if the boo you with is the right boo or whatever. So use code VDAY25 for 25% off those. All right.
And finally, if you're loving the show, please subscribe and give us 5 stars wherever you listen or watch.
Namaste.